Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Slightly less pathetic than America losing to France, but equally as embarrassing. It's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. Not with me, as always, is my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host, my fellow Mavs fan for life, Ruben Tomas, is a daddy. Congratulations to him and Amy,
yeah.
A beautiful new Dallas Mavericks fan. Congratulations to both of you on a healthy child. Obviously, Ruben is going to be out this week. He is, you know, taking care of being a parent. It is awesome. So in the meantime, joining me today, our resident hockey expert and bear escape artist at Ultralight Beam, Tim Beamer. How are you today?
Doing good. I love both of those titles. This definitely feels like one of those Mavs games where Lucas sits out.
Right. Yeah.
So we're just the bench guys hoping to beat some bad team in like New York on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, I can get that. So I guess that means I'm playing like the Jalen Brunson role, or like maybe like kind of the old short veteran of JJ Barea. Like I think I can take that. Yeah, like a bearded Barea.
Yeah, my easy comparison is I'll be Timmy since I'm Timmy.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well, you guys are getting the Brunson Timmy show today. So we got, not a whole lot of Mavs news. Obviously, you know, the Olympics are happening right now. The Team USA is floundering. But that poses a very fun question. Is the Olympics more fun when Team USA is doing poorly?
I just think it's more fun to watch across the board. I think it makes other games more fun, even when the USA isn't involved, because you're actually watching teams that are competing for gold. Like, oh, we have a chance here. Like, this game means a little bit more. And just right. We've seen it in Dallas for years, just with the influx of foreign players in the league, like the competition level has obviously risen, and that's like a testament to what that original dream team did. So it's almost the fact that Team USA gets beaten so often is almost like a backhanded compliment to what they've done for basketball.
I couldn't agree more. It is a testament of just like how much the NBA has made a priority of making this a global game and succeeding to a point to where now, you know, I think, what was it, in the Dream Team era, I think there was like less than 10 NBA players amongst people that weren't in the Dream Team. It was something like that. It's still a very minuscule amount. And now you've got teams like France, Australia, Spain, Nigeria. Like it's been.
Yeah, I
like,
think Nigeria alone has 8 players with NBA experience.
Exactly. And
just
so
think about that.
Well, and that's, I mean, it's also just a true testament to like this, the NBA global reach. And it's also just, I love that there's different countries getting exposure to just like the basketball factories they are, just like the raw talent that's there. You know, I think it's also just like teams are now looking worldwide to get that talent rather than just, all right, America is the only place we need to focus on. I think probably because there's enough, American busts that they're willing to take a chance on guys that would maybe, I don't know. There's something about, maybe it's stereotyping a little bit, but like, something about foreign players just working harder than American players. I think part of it's just cultural in the sense that like they're more likely to buy in into a team role to fight for their job rather than like guys that have been raised on AAU ball that have basically been crowned before they do anything. Especially with like how much fame and clout they have before they even really become a player yet. Like I find it interesting that like I knew who Michael Porter Jr. was like 2 years before he even went to Mizzou. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's the same thing. It's not the same experience of pretty much being like a pre-celebrity. Like like as opposed to like, I don't know, like Precious Achiuwa in Nigeria. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't following him on Instagram then. I mean, maybe that's,
maybe he
is hot shit in Nigeria and I don't really know, but like, I wonder, that's the reason that the Spurs for so long, like just filled their bench with, Europeans. He's just like, hey, they're more willing to just buy into whatever system I tell them to, according to Pop. But, I think speaking of Popovich, he had a great quote when people are just like, you know, asking them, you know, hey, is it surprising when you guys lose? He goes, it's not surprising. These are really good teams now. You know,
yeah.
It's insulting to think that you're going to beat them by 30. That's just not the dynamic of, well, and it would be different if this was, I don't know. Would this be different if America had like all of its best players on this team?
I don't know if it would, because the thing about these other teams and the way they develop their players is these guys have been playing in this system, getting experience under the national team umbrella for their respective countries in a lot of cases. For, I mean, if you're 25, you've probably been doing that for almost 15 years now.
Right.
You know what your national team, like their established system on the court, their structure, your coach. You've honestly probably played with those guys a lot more than the Team USA guys have played together.
Right.
Some of these guys that aren't in the NBA, like they're not coming off these long seasons and in a lot of cases, long playoff runs. Like Booker, Middleton, and Holiday just flew, 3 days after the finals ended? And God, did that have to suck for Booker?
Yeah, no kidding. Like, yeah, you get. I did see a great picture of both Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton on a plane with Devin Booker. Like, how awkward that flight must have been. I can't imagine.
And that is not the Austin to Dallas flight either.
No, it is not. Is that a whole day to go from? I don't know flight times. I know like going from America to like England is normally like 18 hours, something like that.
It's like I want to say maybe someone can easily prove this wrong. They'll respond to us on Twitter, but I want to say it's one of those flights where you can like leave on a Tuesday night and technically land on Thursday kind of thing.
Right. Right. Or, I mean, maybe it's one of those situations where they go around the world a couple of times and actually go back in time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The plane hits 88 miles an hour exactly.
Picking up what I am putting down. Awesome. Well, but we are going to be answering some listener questions. But first, a word from our sponsors. Guys, have you heard about Spotify Green Room? Of course you have, because it is awesome. It is badass. It is a live audio only sports talk platform. It's free to download and to use. You can talk to me. You can talk to Tim, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. So Spotify Green Room is free. It's audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, and react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. So download the Spotify Green Room app. It is free in the iOS or Android app store. You can create a profile, link your Twitter, and join. There's a Mavericks Reddit group. There is an MFFLs group. You guys should join those, because that is basically whenever we start a group, that's when that thing pops up. You can follow me at Don_Denham to be notified when my room goes live. And we'll hopefully start one of those. We'll have an off-season Q&A sooner than later. We just haven't planned it because some of our co-hosts are, you know, at, I don't know, Myrtle Beach or in different states or having children or moving to a new place.
Just don't have their priorities in order.
We don't. Yeah. We're quite the lazy podcast host at this point. But in the meantime, we're very thankful for you guys listening, and it is time for listener questions. We greatly appreciate it. Oh, coming off the top rope, we have Dalton, the Slovenian Texas Waffle. He asks, besides Slovenia in basketball, what other countries' sports teams do you root for when they play the U.S.? For me, it would be Japan in volleyball. Also, Nikhil Kumar, the U.S. table tennis player, is absolutely insane. Thank you, Dalton. I think the first team that I always seem to look out for is Australia, not just the Josh Green connection, but I've always appreciated how much Australian ball has just kind of developed over the past couple of years. Let's see, Patty Mills has been on that team for a while. It's just, they've been kind of a force. I've always liked watching their style of play. I always rooted for the Germans in the World Cup. I don't know why. They always seem to just, you know, beat the hell out of the Italians or, you know, whoever. Like, they are the team that flops the least, which I think is saying something in World Cup soccer. So take that as you will.
As a half German, I always find some attachment to them, and I'll root for Mexico to do well. That's my other half as well. Mm-hmm. And then it really is just finding about, like, individual athletes, great stories. You'll hear them all throughout the Olympics. I thought it was so cool that Naomi Osaka was the one that lit the torch for these opening ceremonies. And just, man, I mean, I guess we could briefly touch on how much it sucks that Tokyo did all this work to prepare for an Olympics where no spectators are going to be allowed in.
Yeah. And just, man, I'm so on the fence when it comes to this, the rise in COVID cases. It's an elephant in the room as far as what to talk about, but I'm so exhausted talking about this, and it would be different if there was just no help and there was no officers. Like, there's so many ways of getting a treatment or getting a vaccine, that this feels even more avoidable, than it has been. And now it's to a point to where I'm like, I don't know. I can't expend any mental energy on it anymore. It's really where it's at. Yeah. Like, it sucks. It also goes to show that the resilience of corporations trying to make profit. So it's got to be one or the other. It's got to be, this is a disease that, or I'm sorry, a virus that is so serious and deadly, we need to stop everything, or we're going to acknowledge that, like, profit is more important. Like, you got to either shut this down or you got to continue. And right now it's continuing. So what it's telling me is, like, all right, this thing is something we can get past. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not the big scary thing that's worth shutting down the world for anymore. Primarily because we've developed treatments and we've developed, you know, we know so much more about this. A year's worth of knowledge has been very helpful battling this thing. So it sucks to watch sports without spectators. Like, it just does. And I know that there's just a difference. Even, what was it? I was watching, was it women's volleyball or women's beach volleyball, which at first I thought was indoors, which was very funny. But then it wasn't, and I was dumb. But, like, watching that, it's like, these are women that are doing amazing things. Just like, what? And it's just, it just sucks the energy out of it whenever there's just not a crowd to get them pumped. I don't know. I know that's just not the, like, these Olympians that are working their ass off, you know, with 4-year mindsets, you know what I mean? And, like, their dream is not to play in an empty stadium so they can get a medal. Like, that's such a, they're not looking like, man, when I was, you know, a little boy and I wanted to be a javelin thrower or whatever, or race, you know, 400 meter, whatever. They're not thinking like, I can't wait to be on YouTube, or I can't wait to be in front of these cameras. That's not what they think. They want to be in front of, like, you know, a cascade of human beings and being in front of the world.
I cannot wait to be live streamed.
Right. Exactly. From someone that has done numerous live stream concerts, it might as well be what we're doing now. We're on a Zoom meeting, and it's just not the same thing. I think we've learned as a populace how shallow talking through a computer screen is, or talking through a camera, and it just doesn't replace just being in the same spot. So, good question, Don. Always appreciate you chiming in. All right, this one comes from Brennan Jorgensen. Two questions: do you think you will, or do you think we will ever see Luca with a flow like Dirk's hair? Two: do you think we will rebrand in the next 2 to 3 years? To answer the first one, I would love that. I would love just like, Keanu Reeves and Bill and Ted Luca, like, just a big shaggy mop of hair. I don't know. It wouldn't be as blonde, I don't think. I think it would be darker. So it would look more like really tall Steve Nash, I think. Or maybe he'd be doing more of his, not Ashton Kutcher, what's the guy's name? Kyle Korver impression.
Yes. I want to see Luca with a, I want him I don't know if an NBA player's ever done this. I want to see Luka with a ponytail eventually. Just because he looks like the least, and I mean, we've all said it, he looks like he's a slow white dude.
Right.
Like the least athletic guy on the court. So every time he does something, it's like, wow, that guy just did that. So I just want him to just add to that and just look like, he's beginning of last season, he kind of looked a little pudgy. I just want him to look like the least athletic man on the court and possibly in the arena at all times.
Just go full Jokic.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, just make it as just ridiculous as possible. And I think the way we get this done is we make a bunch of TikToks and start making those go viral to, telling him what to do, because that's all that generation responds to, I feel like, is TikTok.
I just wonder what would be – do you think he ever goes, like, full Guy Fieri, like, frosted tips? You know, what would be, like, the worst hairstyle that could make this even funnier? Like, I also wonder, like
– I've seen the Photoshops of him completely bald with a goatee. Those are hilarious.
Yeah, it's like the first thing that Jason Kidd makes him do is make him look like Jason Kidd from 2002. Yes. I didn't mean for that to rhyme.
Looking like a young Walter White.
Fantastic. So do I think we get a rebrand in 2 to 3 years? I sure hope so. I think the Mavericks should lean one of two ways. I think we should go either completely like renovated logo, go completely modern, do something very different akin to like what the Bucks did. I think the Bucks have probably the most successful rebrand in my opinion, because they went from, I really liked the purple green stuff from the late 90s, early 2000s. I hated the, it's Christmas time in Milwaukee, like red or yeah. Green and red that I didn't care for, but them going into like the cream green and black look, I think is so fresh looking. It just looks new. It looks like modern day NBA stuff. That's really cool. It's kind of the polar opposite of what the Timberwolves are doing. Timberwolves, I don't know what they're doing. They don't seem to make a decision on anything. So I think we either lean into something completely new and, you know, kind of go away from the Space Horse basketball that we've had. Like, to me, that's Dirk era ball. And I love that. Yeah. I just think like, I would like to have a more like, all right, this is Luka era. This is what it should look like. Now, conversely, I would be A-okay with us kind of reverting back to the green and blue, like more vintage style, just kind of own it. Cause I think franchises have one of two options, either completely go with something new or revert back to a tradition that, you know, kind of like what the Celtics do, you know what I mean? Or the Lakers kind of fall back on it. They're trying to make like their old stuff a bit more modern, but, or what Atlanta did, I thought was a perfect example, you know, reverting back into kind of more paying more homage to your history rather than, you know, that's, you either go forwards or backwards. That's my thought. So I'm hoping they get a good look in the next 2 or 3 years. Cause I'm kind of tired of the Dallas block.
And brothers. I mean, We just saw it work because the green look was just so clean last year. Mm-hmm. And I hate that was just a 1 year thing. I think the other option though, get away from the horse and like Champ's your mascot. Like I'm kind of over the horse. I get it with Maverick and stuff. I know we used to have the cowboy hat. I thought that was amazing, but if you're going to lean into a mascot, I want alternate orange ribbed uniforms and we just completely steer into the Mavs man skid. Like our center court logo is just Mavs man staring at you, and we can say this and we can support this because Ruben's not on the pod this week.
Yeah,
this so is telling me to fuck off for this idea.
This is the official MFFL's stance. We want Mavs man to be the main mascot and not every jersey.
Yes, I want, instead of the t-shirts they hand out at playoff games, I want full green man suits, but they're orange and ribbed. So everyone can be Mavs man in the stands. We have orange outs.
Fantastic. This is Mavs manifesting, you know, we're just putting it into the universe. And I think that's what's going to make this work. I think that's what's going to make this grow. I look forward to every Mavs player being able to do a front flip into a dunk. I think that's the way to go. I think let's go full NBA Jam. It's our Mavs manifest destiny to make this happen. So
the floor at the AAC, the paint will now just be, instead of a painted area, just a trampoline.
Just a trampoline. Yeah. I think we just recreated Slam Ball. I think that's just what we did.
And Lord knows we need to bring that back. Why that's not in the Olympics, I have no idea.
Can we talk about, like, in the early 2000s, there was a whole lot of tries of just, like, you know, basketball really needs a makeover. Let's do street ball or and-one mixtape or slam ball, or does basketball count?
Someone had a tweet yesterday. They were mad at some event because something happened and it, like, I guess compromised the competitive level or something of the event. And they were like, well, this isn't the way it should be. Would you want to see something ridiculous, like people running backwards in the Olympics? And I'm like, wait a minute. Yes. I want the backwards 100-meter sprint, like, right now. If we're going to do this, like, let's just go crazy with it. I want more Olympic events and I want them all to be weird. Since the trailer got released last week, let's somehow make Jackass an Olympic sport. We could have judges. Just who can do the dumbest thing to break their own body? The gold medal could be called the Knoxville. You could, instead of a gold, silver, and bronze, you could place Knoxville, Steve-O, or Wee Man.
I am absolutely on board with this. It's like, all right, let's go down to the field where we have the crocodile on nipples contest going for gold.
We have the fart helmet 500 meter.
That does remind me of, like, this awesome game that was like, it was superhero power with a caveat. And it was like, you're the fastest man in the world, but you can only run backwards. I'm like, I would love that. I would be the best cornerback in the league. You know what I mean? Like, you can fly, but you can only land on your hands. There was another one. You could be invisible, but when you're invisible, you can't stop farting.
All of these sound incredible.
Okay.
Like, they're just added features.
New Olympic sport, a javelin catching contest.
Yes.
The shot catch. It's just guys trying to catch. This is just going to kill people.
After we get this Mavs man rebrand, we're gonna go from talking to Cuban about this to going straight to the IOC offices for these ideas.
So the reverse Olympics is what we're doing.
Yes.
What's the opposite of lifting? Pushing down. Okay. So it'd be like,
I don't know.
Yeah, then I was just thinking, like, okay, if they're not racing, it's just going to be see who can hold their breath underwater most instead of swimming.
No, the opposite of lifting is just, like, who can lift, like, a shoebox or something incredibly light the most times before they just get, like, mentally fatigued and give up.
It's just setting records.
Like, you have people standing there for the entire 3 weeks or however long the Olympics are, and someone's just still there after 3 weeks just doing reps with a shoebox. They haven't worn down yet.
Yeah, you're right. I think the endurance athletes are really held out of the heavy lifting competition. So instead of, like, the high pull of, like, 300 pounds, it should be the high pull of just 1 pound forever. See who can do it, you know? And it's really just a matter of just, like, okay, you can't take a pee break. You can't eat. Could be just a whole day of just doing that high pull.
And I also feel like in the reverse Olympics, we should have some higher stakes between countries. Like, I want embargoes on the line.
We just solved the Middle Eastern conflict by just the javelin and shot catch.
Why don't we import from China anymore? Well, they had faster backward sprinters than we did.
What's the winter Olympic sport where you're skiing and then you fire a rifle?
Oh, my God. I know what you're talking about.
What is it called?
Gotta love a sport that you know exists, but also sounds like you just made it up every time you describe it.
What is that called? Is it like the? Is it a marathon? It's something like that, right?
All right, I'm looking this up.
The duo. Oh God, what is it called? I mean, yeah. Listen to us, Google live. Well, you're biathlon.
Oh, the biathlon is a winter sport that combines cross-country skiing and rifle shooting.
What would be the opposite of that? Is it just dodging being shot at while you're on skis?
You're on a snowboard and you're dodging bullets.
This will get people killed. All right, good. I love this. Okay, so next question. We're just blasting through these. This one comes from Matt's. Who would/could guard Luka in the U.S. Olympic squad if they face off? Probably KD, you think?
The answer is nobody, because nobody in the NBA can guard him. So why should anyone on Team USA?
Valid point. I'll go with that one. Okay, this one comes from Landon Ashby. More of a player progression standpoint, out of all of the rookies last year, will they all be on the roster again this year? Rank them in order. Who will be the most utilized next year? And do you have any favorites out of those guys or any bench players for the upcoming season? Let's see. I think Josh Green is due for a much better season and a bigger role. It seemed to me like he was being benched as punishment via Carlisle. That was my take on the thing. So I think he is due for a better year. Tyrell Terry is bound to have a better year than last year because he didn't play half of the year. So it's either that or he's just going to be demoted to G League stuff and hopefully get called back up.
Tyrell Terry, unless they acquire someone via trade or free agent signing, Tyrell Terry's the main candidate in the organization right now to do a decent impression of that Seth Curry role that they missed so much.
Right.
I mean, that's the one thing we drafted him for, is the guy just shot the lights out at Stanford.
Right.
So, I mean, that's his easy way into probably a solid bench role. But, yeah, it's Josh Green for sure. He's got the – I still believe in his ceiling.
Right.
And his athleticism. So, he's got the highest potential to contribute next year.
I think Nate Hinton, he's a glue guy. He's someone I love at the end of the bench just because he's just a – high energy guy, and I love that he is a black hole in garbage time. Like, if he's getting the ball, that is going towards the basket one way or another. I also just love that, like, I don't know, I think he's actually not a bad shooter, and he could possibly get some more run. I was really disappointed in Bay. I really thought he was going to be kind of a Tayshaun Prince sort of player, you know, just a good defensive guy, defensive wing, and I don't really thought he just never really got on the floor. And we, like, he was, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith light, but like, he just looked kind of lost and clunky on the court. So I wish him well, I want him to do well, but he's got shades of Isaiah Roby to me that I don't care for. I think those were our four rookies.
You sounded like you were about to go through a breakup there. you were just so disappointed in Bay.
I'm just disappointed in Bay. Listen, it's not you, it's me. No, I think I want to see.
It wasn't me. It was the coach.
Exactly. I do like your thoughts though on Tyrell Terry. I think the thing that bummed me out about Tyrell Terry is that he was always put in as a playmaker, which I don't really think was his strong suit. I mean, like, he can dribble just fine. He seems to pass okay, but he would always just kind of like dribble into traffic and then find somebody. But like, it was like no one really, once he passed the ball, every time someone got it, it always seemed like they were surprised. So it didn't seem like it was like planned and it didn't look very good. I would like to see him in a go behind a bunch of back screens and, you know, off ball and shoot. I would love to see him get set up with Luka. That's my thought. I don't know. Maybe getting, you know, having a spot up shooter at 6'2" on a good day is not a great idea in the NBA, but I think it could work. So great question. Fantastic. Let's see. Keep going. We get this one comes from Jeff Gatlin. What's up with just three letters in both of your names? we're minimalists. I think ultimately mine's easy to remember. It's just nod batwards. That's it. Batwards. Here or bat, I guess. Let's see. Tim. I mean, is Tim short for Timothy or is it just Tim?
It's short for Timothy, I just feel like there's so many variations of it. There's three. Yeah. There's Timothy, Timmy, and Tim.
Yeah.
So, you know, just depends on which day you catch me on. But yeah,
I get it, man. Mine's short for
Donald. To the point.
Yeah. Mine's short for Donald, which I, you know, separate myself from for obvious reasons. But Also, like, Donald is basically, if someone's calling me Donald, they better be a family member. That's the only time I accept that. It's just like, nah, it's Don. Now, granted, I have set the record amongst my friends as far as nicknames using my name. Don, Donnie, Donatron, Donatello, Don Corleone, Don Julio, Donnie
Twilight
Darko.
Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, Breaking Dawn. If I moon people, it is the crack of dawn. I'll keep going with these puns from dusk till dawn. Dawn of the Dead. Anyways, it just goes on. It just goes Dawn and Dawn. The worst one is Don Don Don, which is like, you can just, you, that's onomatopoeia. You can use any song. I mean, you can go crazy with it. You know, you can go full immigrant song. Don da 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 da. See, you can just do so much more with it. That's what it. That's what I want. If you're gonna make fun of my name, do that. all right. Fuck, marry, kill. Maxi, Luca, Tim. This comes from Betty. Let's see. Mary.
I mean, everybody's got to fuck Maxie.
Everyone's gonna fuck Maxie. Man, I don't want to kill Tim though. Like that's the short end of the stick. But I'm sorry, Tim. I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'll have to marry Luca. Fuck Maxie. Kill Tim.
Yeah, that's the way that cookie crumbles. Tough break for Tim.
Tough break for Tim. Yeah, he doesn't get to get married or fucked by us. Yeah. Anyways,
such is life.
Such is life. I'm supposed to do mid-roll, but hey guys, Spotify Green Room, download it, listen to us, enjoy it. Spotify is buying everything, including podcasts, and now you can live talk stream stuff. Spotify Green Room, download it. Okay, would you take Kawhi, who's out for the year, if it meant running back the same roster without THJ Richardson and WCS? That comes from Jay LaRuja. LaRuja, hoping I'm saying that right. Thank you, Jay. I'm out of the loop. Why is Kawhi out for the year? Did he get surgery or something? Did I miss something?
Yeah, he tore his ACL.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not too attached to THJ Richardson and WCS. Like, as much, I appreciate THJ a lot. I think he's going to be overpaid this free agency, and I think he's gone. I like him a lot. I would not be upset with him staying in a Mavericks uniform for starter money. Here's the graphic that got me that really kind of just sealed the deal for me as far as like my thoughts on this current Mavericks team was Game 7 of the playoffs this year. You had Luka. He was 17 for 30, 46 points, 14 assists, 45% from 3-point. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, 50 points, 15 of 30, 19 assists, 27% from 3-point. Pretty like, basically, he outplayed two of those all-stars, which is insane. Now, the role players for the Mavericks, 55 points, 20% from three-point range. The Clippers, role players, 76 points, 53% from three-point range. So it's just like this clear, Luka could use some help. So if that help is Kawhi a year from now, I'm excited about that. But man, I don't know if we get Kawhi. Like, let's say he does sign for, say, 3 years. Do we know if he's going to still be on there that whole time? I don't know. Like, he's such a wild card, and you cannot predict what he's going to do. He's just not a guy. Like, I just don't see him wanting to stay in the same spot for more than a year. So, I mean, I would love a year of Kawhi. Like, that does fill a lot of holes for us. It gives us a top-tier defensive player, an amazing offensive option that is not Luka. That's... you know, a guy that you can trust to get a bucket when you need it. Cause my God, did he just absolutely destroy us on some of those, like that Clippers season or that Clippers series was Kawhi just going, I'm the best player on this court. And like Luka put him, you know, challenged him for that spot. But ultimately, like Kawhi's next level, he is great. I would love to have him on the Mavericks. But I, man, him being out for a year and signing with the team, like, I don't know if we can do that Kevin Durant deal. You know what I mean?
I mean, it would suck because you're basically saying you're not winning a championship in another year of Luka, but I think the ultimate, the long term is worth it because you're adding a top five player in the league and probably the one that complements Luka's game the best out of anyone in this league. Just everything Luka doesn't do, which isn't a lot, mm-hmm. Kawhi is just a master at.
Right.
And well, I mean,
is he going to be a master at that 2 years from now after an ACL injury?
ACLs are more and more becoming like sprained ankles. Like that's you bounce point. Back from that quick. We saw KD bounce back from much worse. So
that's a good point. And I would much more rely on Kawhi's production than KP's production.
Yeah, I trust him to heal more than KP did because Kawhi right. isn't 7'4" in this freakish body type that seems like even when KP's healthy, it seems like it's being held together by rubber bands for ligaments.
Absolutely. Also, like shout out to Squish.
You freak out every time he lands.
Shout out to Squish doing an amazing Kristaps Porzingis video in the song parody of Jeff Bezos by Bo Burnham. And I make an appearance on there. It was fun. So check that out.
That was hilarious.
I think it's his pinned tweet. So before he shipped off to Myrtle Beach. Okay, we got a couple more questions. Let's see. What time does Luka play? Central time. I think 11:20, 11:40. Wait. A quick Google search, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 9:45 my time. So would be
11:45 for Central time. So
yeah.
That comes from Mankind. So that's for you, Mankind. Let's see.
Just look at it this way, folks. Your Monday is going to suck anyway. At least have it suck because you're tired because you supported our sweet boy.
That's a valid point. Absolutely. I'm going to try finding a way of watching that game. Apparently it's being locked up like Fort Knox. Okay. Olympics fanatic, also Mavs Estonia. Is playoff Luka an actual thing or not? Is regular season Luka an actual thing or not? I think yes, absolutely. I mean, Luka has... he's improved pretty much every season, like not necessarily statistically. I've actually done a little bit of a deep dive on this. So pretty much since his rookie year, he's improved his field goal percentage. His threes are looking a little bit better. Let's see. Yeah, he's raised his 3-point percentage, basically 3 percentage points, but he's taking a lot more. I wouldn't say he's plateaued. I would just say that, you know, he exploded in his second year and then it came down a little bit, but it didn't go below his rookie year, which is remarkably impressive. That being said, looking at his playoff game log, holy hell, like he's had two games that weren't very good. And well, let's call it three games. Game three in the first playoff series, he had a 13-point triple double. That was his bad game, and they lost. Then we had, game five was another loss, but he had 22 points. You know, still shot decently well.
I feel like the bad games you're mentioning are all direct results of Marcus Morris intentionally injuring him.
Right.
You can factor that in too.
I mean, really the only game that I see here that's like definitively bad is still a 19-point game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists.
Was that game 4 this year?
That was game 4 this year. He was 9 of 24, yeah. 1 from 7 from 3-point. Like that's
he had that weird shoulder nerve issue and you could tell the entire night that he wasn't him.
Exactly. So, that being said, this is surrounded by 40 and 30-point games. Which is just remarkable, just like how he's been, you know, the highest scorer and basically a guaranteed double-double, if not triple-double. It's pretty insane, his production. And this is on a team that, like I said before, game seven, how he got 14 assists off of his teammates shooting 20% from three-point is astounding. You know, like, where are those assists coming from when his team isn't shooting well? So... I think playoff Luka is definitely a thing. He definitely hits another gear. I mean, hell, we saw every great player in the playoffs this year specifically had games where they disappeared. You know, there was some Chris Paul disappearing acts in the finals. There was Giannis didn't really have Giannis was insane, but like even Giannis had some bad playoff games.
Well, then he had to physically disappear because he missed game six of that Hawks series after that, which, by the way, holy crap, that finals performance just like a week after I thought this season and next season was done for him.
Right.
When that injury happened. So, yeah.
Dude's a freak. I love that it's his league now. I love that. I don't know. I think it's great to see success in a small market, but also a guy sticking around and doing it the traditional way. Like, hey, this is the team that took a chance on me. I want to stick with this team. I'm like, let's make something work here. You know, good for Bud, by the way. Like
pounding the table and saying he did it the hard way. He didn't go to a super team. That was awesome.
Well, and
I'll give the ultimate compliment. He's like the first guy since Dirk that I'll really compare to Dirk.
I think that's a fair comparison.
Such a pure, joyous human. And then he stuck around and did it the right way with his team.
Did it with his team. People built around him. You know, he didn't just go to a team that was already. And it's nice to see that model not work as well. Like, it's nice to see. I thought that was my favorite thing about the finals specifically, is that there's home. I mean, yes, they traded for Chris Paul, but like, I love that for the most part, that was a Booker Ayton team. You know, for Phoenix, like they built that, and you know, that's that at least relieves the Phoenix fans from the taking Ayton before Luka kind of sentiments. I mean, I think who knows what that team looks like with Booker and Luka, but ultimately, like, hey, you guys made a finals, like that's a defensible act. Now the Kings, however. that might be a little harder pill to swallow. And same with the Hawks, ultimately. You know, like, as much as Hawks fans are annoying with it when it comes to the Trae Young Luka debates, like, listen, you guys balled out. I thought you guys absolutely overperformed in the playoffs, and it was great. It's cool. Like, I also just like seeing teams that have not been very good, like, make a run. I think that's good for the league.
Yeah.
Everyone hope for rebuilding projects. Like, I hope the Magic do it next year with Mosley coaching them.
It's the same thing we just talked about with the Olympics. It's fun to see these new teams competing instead of running back the same winners over and over.
Yeah, and basically whenever it comes to like super teams or like big stars, like the only thing that people can really talk about is just like ratings. And it's like, it's like someone, I heard a great thing talking about like Instagram profiles. You know, it's sizzle and steak. Sizzle is what gets people to look at it. The steak is actually substance of what you're doing. And I think like this was a good example of maybe not having the greatest sizzle with the NBA finals this year, but having great steak. Like, you have a Hall of Famer in the making of Chris Paul. You have a Hall of Famer in the making of Giannis. You have a lot of new blood in the playoffs getting exposure that would not have otherwise happened. And really, like, it's great that one. I mean, I'm happy for the city of Milwaukee. Man, what a drunk town that was that entire week. So I don't know. I all in all, I think it's just good for the league. All right, we're running a little long, but that is okay. Let's just keep on chugging with these questions. Let's see. Best pizza crust. Oh, this is asked by Kenny, aka Fake Fan. what is the best pizza crust? Thin, stuffed, etc.
Give me thin. I like the crunch.
I think the New York style is my absolute favorite. Like, so I like the long, like long thin pieces that are as large as your face. Like, that's the best type of pizza. No question. Any other kind, it just turns into cake, like tomato flavored cake.
I've been a big fan actually of Detroit style lately too.
Ooh,
where the cheese is directly melted onto the crust and then you have the sauce on top.
Absolutely. There's a great place here in Austin called Via 313. That's Detroit style pizza.
I want to say they're expanding to the DFW area.
It wouldn't surprise me. They were just a small food truck out of Austin, and now they've got a couple of brick and mortar places. It is delicious. So what's cool is that they make it square. So basically every slice is nice and crunchy on the outside. So it is kind of like a hybrid of kind of like Chicago style, but not just tomato soup in a cake.
that is
normally the big stuff. Stuffed crust never does it for me. I don't need a mozzarella stick in my pizza crust for me to enjoy the pizza. That's just my thought. I think that's all of our hot pizza takes for now. We got Cool Hollow. Maxence is, I think I'm saying that correct. Would you rather have Kobe and Shaq or Rudy and Evan?
For a second, I thought you said, would you rather have COVID and Shaq?
And COVID, I'm like, and Shaq.
Sure.
Yeah, right now we're all getting schooled by COVID Bryant right now.
Yes.
And, so, yeah, would you rather have Kobe and Shaq or Rudy and Evan, which is in response to France dominating the USA? I think, Pete Kobe and Shaq was just unfair. It's just like you have pretty much, you know, Michael Jordan light with the same amount of competitive sociopathy. And then you have the most physically dominant player, I think, ever. I don't think there will ever be someone that was as, like, you just watch early 2000s Shaq, and there is no one close to being bigger, faster, or stronger. And it's not like, oh, there was, like, David Robinson was, like, kind of close. Not even close. He was a twin man compared to that dude. And, like, David Robinson was a beast. Like, he was, like, that one of the best centers in the league. Same thing with Hakeem. Like, Hakeem was maybe more skilled, but, like, as far as just physically dominating, Shaq was just
it's the ultimate bull, the ultimate bull in a china shop on the court. Absolutely. But if the bull was also skilled enough to dribble and spin around any of the china he wanted,
absolutely,
and not break it.
I mean, just like, also just I forgot how fast Magic Shaq was, you know, like, any watching any of that stuff, man, it is just insane. He flew down the court. Like, even LSU Shaq was just insane. But are they as good as Rudy and Evan? That's the real question that everyone's been asking.
You know, it's close. After watching them against or after seeing highlights of them against Team USA today, I don't know how the Jazz don't go 82-0 every year.
Could be just having a defensive center that doesn't shoot well. Maybe isn't, you know, maybe that's it.
I think just having to live in Salt Lake City wears them down by the end of every year. Yeah, it's the only defense against the defensive player of the year.
Their weird alcohol laws of, like, how like, beer can't be past a certain percentage, something.
It's 3-2 beer or something.
I will say, one of my favorite Salt Lake City stories. So I was in a band called the American Revival, and we got sponsored by this place called Black Harbor Strings. I was like, it's a cool sounding name. Cool. I was like, where are they? That sounds like a place from, like, maybe Boston, Portland, you know, some place with, like, a port, right? Salt Lake City. It was the most baffling name for a string of or for a string company based out of Utah. So anyways, guys, Tim, anything else you're wanting to touch on, or we about done talking about the reverse Olympics amongst other absurdities?
I think we've done a great job derailing this podcast for a week without our normal co-host on. So
I thought, you know, this is what happens when the, you know, the insane folks run the asylum for, you know, it gives them a moment, you know, so this is fun. So, guys, thank you so much. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. You can find us at MFFLs.com for all of our articles. Follow us at the_MFFLs to ask questions, things like that. Again, congrats to Ruben on his baby. Congrats to Squish. Going to Murder Beach. He seems to be having a fun time. Tim, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. Greatly appreciate you, bud. Your insight is always interesting and or entertaining or just correct. So I appreciate that. I've been Don Denham, everybody. You can follow me at Don_Denham. You can follow Tim at Ultralight Beam, BEHM. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Take it easy, guys.